Late April, 10 o'clock at night, hustling south on Florida 112 through the eastern section of Cypress County, about 20 miles from the intersection of 112 and the Tam Miami Trail. So maybe I was pushing old Miss Agnes along a little too fast. Those are the opening lines to The Long Lavender Look by John D. MacDonald. I'm John McCoy, and this is Recently Read. My father had a basement office, which was where the K-Pro computer lived, as well as bookshelves that held his collection of paperback books from the 60s and 70s. We had books upstairs, hardcover Heritage Club editions of Austin and Twain and Homer that gave off a comfortable middle-brow domesticity, but the books downstairs were rough and tumble, including the kind of big sexy novels that sold like gangbusters in supermarket checkouts, doubtful self-help and pop psych books about unleashing your potential through meditation and holistic living. And there were mystery novels, most in series, Dorothy Sayers, Agatha Christie, Nero Wolfe, Father Brown and Rabbi Small, but most of all, the John D. MacDonald series of collar-titled mysteries with their fantastic covers by Ron Lesser, Elaine Duello, and best of all, Robert McGinnis. The illustrations featured slinky, sophisticated women in various states of undress, whose postures suggested intrigue or peril. And on every cover was the scratchy, scrambled portrait of the series protagonist, Travis McGee, a steely man just south of middle age, whose 100-yard stare bespoke reserve and world weariness. The Travis McGee novels were written by John D. MacDonald, a Harvard MBA who spent World War II as an officer in strategic services. With a background like that, he might have spent his post-war years working in corporate management. Instead, he started writing for men's adventure magazines, eventually writing hundreds of detective, mystery, sports, and science fiction stories before breaking into the burgeoning world of cheap paperbacks in the 1950s. One of his novels, The Executioners, was adopted into the 1962 and 1991 movies Cape Fear. But it was with the first Travis McGee novel, The Deep Blue Goodbye of 1964, that MacDonald found the protagonist and setting that would occupy him for the rest of his life. For 21 novels, each with a color in the title, MacDonald would tell the hard-boiled tales of Travis McGee, a salvage expert who lived a lazy, disreputable life aboard a 21-foot houseboat, usually docked at Marina Bahia Mar, Fort Lauderdale. While these novels are usually classified as mysteries, in some ways McGee was the American answer to James Bond. He is a lone operator, cunning, observant, brutally efficient, and mostly competent in all the ways of being a man, drinking, fighting, betting women, and basically getting stuff done. In the years after the war, careers were becoming corporatized, and even private life was becoming a more complex, abstract world of finance, credits, mortgages, and insurance. McGee was the opposite of all that. His unorthodox business model consisted of working on commission, one half of anything recovered for his clients, cash or tangible goods only. In addition to his houseboat, the Busted Flush, which he won in a poker game, he had a vintage 1936 Rolls-Royce, whose previous owner had converted into a pickup truck, which was christened the Miss Agnes. Travis didn't work in the abstract world of corporate or suburban America. McGee had some other notable features that set him apart from the other men's genre heroes of the 60s and 70s. He shared Philip Marlowe's tendency to side with the vulnerable, which in Travis's world were the innocent souls, usually middle-aged women, who thought they were strong enough to survive in the world of violence and disaffection that Travis inhabited. A typical McGee caper might start as a job to recover smuggled valuables or compromising photographs for a naive, rich client, but eventually the plot would focus on a beautiful woman with a sad past who had somehow gotten herself mixed up in the machinations of the plot and who needed Travis to give a hand. If this sounds sexist, it was. But to his credit, MacDonald gave these women voices and agency and wit, even in stories that would most likely be their doom. McGee's biggest competence lay in sizing people up, in telling within a few minutes of meeting them what their life story was, whether they were a threat or a mark, a phony or a lost soul. McGee's evaluations were never wrong, and they were often based upon essentialism when it came to gender, sexuality, class, or worth. In this way, too, McGee exemplified the post-war male fantasy of self-determination. He was not one to suffer fools, nor one to waste his time on cons. Today, the most interesting feature of these books is Travis's inner monologue of observations of the changing landscape of Florida during boom years. The great romances in Travis's life are the forests, swamps, and waterways that he saw being developed at a devastating pace. Not the typical thoughts of a gun for hire. Written in 1970, right in the middle of the McGee series, Lavender features an accident that nearly destroys his truck, a mysterious woman fleeing through the woods in a nightgown, and a web of intrigue in a small town deep in the boondocks. It also features McGee's longtime companion in many of the books, Meyer, who is an economist and an intellectual, but nevertheless game for adventure. In this case, adventure means McGee and Meyer being wrongfully imprisoned and beaten by the police of a small town in which they find themselves stranded. An interesting take on the abuse of power by law enforcement, somewhat unexpected for time and genre. It turns out that the offending officer is wrapped up in a blackmail scheme that involves sexual coercion for a dozen unfortunate women, including Betsy Capp, a divorced hostess at a local diner, who fills the role of damsel in distress. Unfortunately, the bad cop is not the worst of the rogues in this book, as it turns out that a trio of desperate criminals are after the never-recovered loot from a truck heist 5 years previous, and before the novel's end, all of these circumstances will converge on McGee with tragic results. So should you read it? If you're new to the series and curious, I think that Lavender is the best place to start. There is some continuity between books, but honestly not much, and the first few are a bit uglier in their attitude and violence. McGee is not as thoughtful as he eventually becomes. Then again, this book is violent, and you may or may not be in the mood for its period approach to gender. But if you like noir or hard-boiled fiction, or a plot determined to hold its readers by the throat, you will be entertained by this book. You will also be treated to such melancholic Travis wisdom as, "Making someone dead is a game for the unimaginative, for someone who cannot ever really believe that they, too, can die. The curse of empathy is to see yourself in every death, and to see the child hidden in the body of every corpse." As for me personally, reading these books has been a window into my dad's psyche. My dad is an academic, a professor of theology and philosophy, and not the kind of person you'd think of leaving the world behind to seek adventure in a houseboat. But maybe, some nights, when my brothers and I were too noisy, or the college was too quiet, Travis's life beckoned.